بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله, we've just completed a brief tafsir of Surah An-Nazi'at, and what I'd like to do is do a brief recap of the lessons that we learn from this surah. And these are some of the lessons that I derive from the surah, and there are certainly many more that we can derive if we sit and ponder for a while. So lesson number one is that death is real and inevitable, and its determination and knowledge is only with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Luqman, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. That no one, no person knows what it will earn for the morrow, for tomorrow, and no person knows in what land he will die. And indeed, Allah is all-knower and aware of all things. So we have to always keep this in mind, that everything that has been given life will die, and it's not a matter of being depressed about it, it's a matter of preparing for it. The Prophet ﷺ advised us to do, he said, أكثروا, do a lot of remembrance of death, because it then puts your life in balance by giving you the true worth of the enjoyment, the ladhat, the enjoyments of this earth. So it puts that in balance. One day, the young companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who is known because he would imitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the greatest details, said that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held him by his shoulder and said to him, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل, which means, be in this dunya like you are a stranger. You don't belong here. As we've said before, we are on a tourist visa. We don't belong here. He said, so be like a stranger or be like a traveler who's going to move on. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma added to this by saying that if you reach the evening, don't expect to be alive in the morning. And if you reach the morning, don't expect to be alive in the evening. And he said, take from your health for your sickness. In other words, while you are healthy, take advantage of it to do the deeds that you would not be able to do if you are sick and disabled and unable. Deeds, obviously, for your akhirah that will be of value. And he said, and take from your life for your death. In other words, while Allah has given us this life, we have to use it to our maximum advantage, to be positive for our when we are dead and we are no longer able to do anything. So I and you have to prepare for death every day, today. Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu wajhu, said that the hereafter, the akhirah, is traveling towards us. And he said, this life is traveling away from us. We are moving forward in time with no pause and no respite. We're leaving this life behind and we are moving forward. Akhirah is drawing clearer to us. So he said, so be the children of the akhirah, of the hereafter, and do not be the children of this dunya. Because he said, for today is a day for amal, for action, without hisab, without accountability. And tomorrow will be a day of hisab, of accountability, with no ability to do any action. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said to us, he said, don't forget the angel of death, because he does not forget you. He does not forget you. Ibn al-Jawzi, Baghdadi scholar who died around the year 1202 or 1201, said, the ship of your life is approaching the coast of the graveyard. The ship of your life is approaching the coast of your graveyard. What is the matter with you that you are busy inside the ship trying to acquire goods and set things right? In other words, prepare for the landing in the graveyard. And Sayyidina Al-Ghazali said something very beautiful. Also, he said, O friend, the cloth from which your kafan, your shroud, will be cut may have already reached the marketplace, and yet you remain unaware. Just think about it. I don't know that maybe that fabric in which I will be shrouded has already been manufactured, it's already been shipped, it's already been received in that retail store from where it will be purchased, from which the shroud is going to be cut. So we don't know. And therefore, a smart person prepares for that. So that's lesson number one, the inevitability of death for all of us. And this comes from the mention of the Naziat or Nashitat and the angels who are extracting the soul, telling us that there is no escape from this. Malakul Maut. The second lesson that I derive from it is that likewise, the Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, is real and inevitable, and its determination and its ultimate knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Death is like a little Qiyamah. Our Qiyamah will start, our hereafter starts with death, even though Qiyamah may be 1,000 years from now or more. So if this Qiyamah, as we know, is a reality, in what condition do I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With what provisions, with what actions do I want to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, and we had the privilege of standing before her about 2 weeks ago in Jannatul Baqi radiallahu anha wa ardaha, she said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to meet him. And in her usual questioning, interrogative and inquisitive manner that she was, that personality, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of us hate death. And we are averse to it. We don't want to die. So how does this, how do we understand this hadith? And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, the matter is not like this. What is meant by this is that when a believer is given the glad tidings of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his forgiveness, his pleasure, his paradise, he loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he lovingly and willingly gives up his soul. And Allah loves to meet him. Similarly, on the other side, a disbeliever, when he is given the news of the punishment and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hardships that will be imposed on him, he hates to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to meet him. So I have to determine, where do I want to be? The third lesson that I derive from this is that the true belief in Qiyamah is not just a claim. I mean, you can ask any Muslim, do you believe in Qiyamah, Day of Judgment? They will say yes. But does my life reflect that I am preparing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any moment? Or does my life reflect that I am working on the premise that I'm going to be here in this dunya forever? So what do my actions reflect of where my preference, where do I give preference in my life, in my actions? The fourth lesson is the characteristics of the people of Jahannam and the people of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined in the surah the characteristics of the people of Jahannam. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وآثر الحياة الدنيا. The one who transgressed, who violated all the limits, and he manifested that by showing a preference for the life of this world. A preference, didn't deny it, but his actions were showing that his focus was the dunya. The end, the abode of this person is Jahannam. Similarly, the characteristics of the person who is destined for Jannah are also defined in the surah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. And the person who was afraid that he had to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he prepared for it. And in that preparation, he denied the desires, the evil inclinations that went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. He was tempted. He saw the people so-called enjoying these things, and he held himself bad. He had sabr, and he denied his nafs. This is a person of Jannah. Again, I need to see what characteristics do I have, where do I belong. The fifth is a essential strengthening and reassurance for all of us, because we also live in difficult times with difficulties and persecution of Muslims worldwide. And we hear all of these stories of what's going on in lands like China and India and elsewhere. We must remember that in the end, we learn from the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, and the story of the Quraysh, that victory in the end is for the truth, that Islam will triumph, and that true Muslims will prevail in the end. Now, the time frame is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never feel depressed. We should never get discouraged, no matter how unlikely this seems, or even if it seems impossible, because we look at the surface of what's going on, how things appear in this dunya. Don't get depressed, because we are on the right and we will prevail. And again, when we read the story of Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam, and we read this over and over again in multiple juz of the Quran, we should not read it like a story or just for simple condemnation of Fir'aun. He got what he got, and he will get in the Akhirah what Allah has promised him. But when we read the story, we should also reflect internally to determine if I have my own internal little Fir'aun or big Fir'aun. And how often does my internal Fir'aun rebel? Tagha. And Adbara, turn his back to the call of Musa alayhi salam, to the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ultimately to the call of Allah azza wa jal, to purify myself, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acknowledge him as my Lord. We must remember that every time I knowingly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I reject or ignore his commandments, my internal Fir'aun, my lower nafs, has its own way, in its own way, has declared, Ana Rabbakumul A'la, as Fir'aun said. In other words, I am taking my nafs as my Rabb, as my Ilah. So we must remember that this is a form of shirk every time we disobey in its own way. And we must be very careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ourselves, our lower nafs, our disobedience, and our tendency to rebel. In conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, all of the Quran is for the purpose of transformation of our lives. When I read the Quran, it should be to transform my life, to bring my life in conformity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments and prohibitions, to be his true Khalifa on earth, and to worship him as his true Abd. Reading of the Quran and studying of the Quran is not meant as an academic exercise. because the Quran will be a hujjah, an evidence against us or in our favor, our defense attorney or our prosecutor. So this surah is another strong reminder to me to seriously look at my life, to analyze the worth of my life, the way I have led it, through the lens of the reality of the Akhirah. This surah reminds me to make those necessary corrections now, without delay, while I still have time, to reset my priorities. What do I give preference to? To make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to renew my covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn my deen, to practice my deen. I need to make sure that my life is one of obedience and not disobedience. And there is no defiance in my life, no matter how I justify it by saying that I'm busy or I'm weak or someday Allah will give me tawfiq. These are not valid excuses. So we need to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in munajat, and we need to make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to repent to Him in true tawbah, and we need to ask Him for His help and strength to strengthen our iman and yaqeen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thabat, for steadfastness in our journey to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our lower nufus from its desires. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our character to the best of character, the best of akhlaq that reflects the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a life that is full of obedience to Him, and not just partial obedience, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers partial obedience or partial acceptance of His commandments equivalent to kufr, because He says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then how is it that you believe in part of the scripture and you reject the rest? What is the consequence of this? What is the verdict for something like this? He said, excuse me. He said, then what is the recompense for those who do so among you except disgrace in this dunya, in the life of this world, and on the day of resurrection, ashadd al-adhab, they will be consigned to the most grievous torment, and Allah is not aware of what you do. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a life that we lead that He is pleased with when we meet Him. In a meeting with Him that I look forward to, where He looks forward to meeting me because He is pleased with me. See, it's such a beautiful feeling to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who already knows what we are going to say to Him, He patiently awaits us, and He listens to us, and He responds to us. He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.